Our lesson today is taken out of the Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter, commencing with the 38th verse. We read in this 38th verse that it came to pass as he went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman by the name of Martha received him in her house. This certain village we find to be called Bethany. Bethany lieth 2 miles outside of Jerusalem at the foot of Mount Olivet. It is situated in a very beautiful place. From Bethany, we could see the River Jordan. We could also see the Dead Sea. And we could likewise see this road that we were speaking about last week, which led from Jerusalem to Jericho. Bethany was a beautiful town at the time of Christ, but at the present time, it's only a miserable village of about 12 mud huts, wherein live about 20 families. What a vast difference it is at this time in comparison to when Christ was upon earth. Christ resorted quite often to this village, Bethany. These people that dwelt in Bethany, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, they entertained Christ quite often. It appears that Martha was either a widow or she was the head of the house. As the text says, she received him into her house. It was at this time very dangerous to receive Christ into your house, for they were seeking his life. Moreover, Martha, she invited him in regardless of the danger that was attached to it. And not only did he resort hither alone, but he came with his 12 disciples. This was an added expense to Martha, but she cared not about the expense. She invited him freely to her home. In Bethany, we have many wonderful things taking place throughout the life that Christ led here upon earth. We find him at one time in the house of Simon the leper. And while he was there, a woman came in and poured out an alabaster box of precious ointment over the top of his head. When he went up to Jerusalem upon an ass in his triumphal entry into this city, in the evening, he returned back to Bethany with his 12 disciples. It was at Bethany that he raised up Lazarus from the dead. Now we find Martha. She is a woman that was very good to Christ in receiving him in her home. He came there quite often. This was a token that there was someone in this home that he loved. We read in John that he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Whoever he may love, to that home he visits quite often. And now we find that Mary, her sister, so the instant that Christ entered into the home, he sat in a chair, and she sat at his feet, hearing his word. This, what Mary did, was something that showed that she was very interested in the words of Christ. Regardless of what home we may be in, and there may be a sermon spoken, it doesn't make any difference what place we may be, as long as we may hear Christ's voice. She sat at his feet, attentively listening to what he spake, not just to catch a word now and then, but her heart and her ears were open to listen to what Christ had to say. She sat at his feet as those that sit at the feet of their tutors to be taught. She was then very attentive to what Christ was speaking. We find Martha, she loved Christ, and she was a domestic woman, very busy with the household duties. She was making and preparing the meal which they were to eat. She was then putting things in order so that they could sit down and eat this, what she was preparing. But the text says Martha was cumbered with much serving. Martha, she was outdoing herself. She was not satisfied just to prepare an ordinary meal, but she had to bring out everything that she had. And this, of course, caused much work for her, which wasn't too much for Christ, but she, being very busy in performing these tasks, looked at Mary, who was sitting at the feet of Christ. And the more that she looked at Mary, the more aggravated that she became. She became fretful. She began to think, why do I have to be so busy preparing all these things for all these persons to eat, and she just sitting at the feet of Christ? We take notice that Mary paid no attention to Martha. She sat at the feet of Christ so attentively. She was drinking in the words that he was speaking. She was not caring about what she was going to eat or what she was going to drink. She was in the position that we read of in Jeremiah, who said, "When I found thy word, I did eat it, and it was to the joy and to the rejoicing of my soul." So it was with Mary. But Martha became angry. Instead of beckoning unto Mary to come and help her, she spake unto Jesus concerning her sister. And she said unto Christ that he should speak unto her, that he should help her. "Lord," she says, "does it not trouble thee that my sister sitteth at thy feet and doth not help me to serve? Bid her to help me." We see in this that Martha, she addressed Jesus as Lord. She was an object that Christ loved as well as Mary. In this, she acknowledged him to be the Messiah in whom she was seeking salvation. But she came to Christ with that which she should have never did. She came to him with a quarrel that was going on within her, an unreasonable quarrel. If Martha had been in a lively state of soul, she would have laid aside her task and would have sat down with Mary at the feet of Christ. We take notice in these two children of God that one was living very close to Christ, the other one was in a cold and a worldly state. She was what we would call a lukewarm Christian at this present moment. We find her, Martha, very cumbered with what we are going to eat and what we are going to drink. And Mary, sitting very quietly, very composed, attentively listening to the words of Christ. And now Martha, she wanted Christ to take up this case which she brought before him. She wanted Christ to justify her. She thought, truly he is Lord. He knows how busy I am working here, preparing this meal for all of them. Why don't he bid my sister to help me? For this coming to Christ with something as this was entirely wrong. If Christ lays something upon us, if he lays cares and troubles in our way, we may justly bring them to him. For the apostle says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But if we make these cares and these troubles ourselves, then to ask Christ to justify us in what we are doing, we are wrong. This Martha did, and we find that Christ did not take up her case. You may take notice that Christ was the guest in Martha's home. She had invited him there, and she was very busy preparing everything for him. The meal was for him and for his followers. And she thought that he truly would take her case and take her side. But he did not. Christ is a little different than you and I. If you and I have someone in the home who we have invited and who we are preparing a meal for, when we have some case that we would want to have them justify, they would be most apt to do so, and so would we if we were at someone's home. We wouldn't want to offend the person that invited us. We would be hypocritical in this way, and we would keep it to ourselves, or maybe we would even side with the person. But Christ was not this way. Christ, he rebuked Martha publicly, right in the front of all his disciples, and he took up Mary's case instead of taking up Martha's case. Martha wanted Christ to speak well about her being angry, and this he would not. And therefore he speaks and says to her, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered and troubled about many things. He speaks as in earnest, as one concerned about her condition and about her state. Martha, Martha, twice he addresses her. For those creatures who are cumbered and entangled with worldly cares and troubles, they are very hard to disentangle from them. Many times they need a double reproof. There is only one thing that can entangle us from the cares and the troubles that we are in this life, and that is the voice of Christ, which only can bring us to his divine feet. She then was troubled and concerned about preparing everything and getting everything ready. These things were good in their place. We must commend Martha for being careful and exact, and also providing things necessary for a meal, but she overdid it. In many a home, there is a great laxity in doing things that are necessary. Many are not like Martha. Many are lazy. Many, they want to go out every day themselves, especially women, and they leave their household duties to some other time. We may see it in their homes, if we may enter therein. This is a cause many times of trouble and of friction between members of the family. How many members of families become angry? And how many wives and husbands have arguments, and they are fighting with each other many times concerning the work that has to be done in the home? And many families, my hearers, are not like this family. In this family, there was order. The Jews esteemed these people, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, as people of distinction and of quality. But how many families do we find where things are not run in order? How many times we see, even in families, where they reprove one another, or they become angry? Just like Martha became angry concerning Mary, so many times mothers become angry. I appeal unto you, Marthas, in my midst. How many of you are like Martha? I know there are some of you that have children that have just been born. You have enough work to keep you going from morning till night. Especially if you have twins, there's double work. And these things are lawful, these things are necessary. But must you not admit with me that many times you are fretful, that the work becomes too much, that it's a burden to you? And then sometimes your husband may come home from his work, and you appeal to him to pitch in and to help. Probably he has been laboring all day, and he doesn't feel like doing it. What happens? You become angry with each other. How often does this not take place in families? I know if you are a good housekeeper, then you will try to keep your home in order. And you are to be commended for this. But does it not happen many times with you that you invite someone to visit you, and before the visitors arrive, while you are so busy preparing this and preparing that, and everything has to be just so, you're not just satisfied to be ordinary, but you go to the extreme. And when you do so, you have a lot of work. You become fretful. You're dissatisfied. You've taken it all upon yourself, and you've done it yourself. And then you would want someone to justify you, like Martha. She wanted Christ to justify her in what she was doing, and she was not. In this, my hearers, being careful and troubled about many things, this not only reflects upon Martha's, but it also reflects upon many men. How many are careful and troubled about their work, their position, their standing in life? Oh, how often are not men even careful and troubled about things that are needless, that have no true meaning and profit them nothing? Many, they are busy from morning till night at their employment. Some, they're not even satisfied with one position. They have to have two so that they can earn a little more and get a little ahead in the world, better than the next one. Careful and troubled about money, about becoming a little better off than the next creature. How few are careful and troubled about their immortal souls. These things, my hearers, men and women, are a snare unto us. They keep us from reading the scripture. They keep us from seeking God in prayer. And they keep us from seeking the one thing needful for our immortal souls. How many young people who have parents, they haven't any time for prayer, for reading scriptures? They're busy going out. The more they get home, they're preparing themselves to go out. They haven't any time even to eat. Out they go. Every night they must go here and go there. And when their parents reprove them, admonish them, and speak to them in love, what do the parents get in return? You're old-fashioned. You're too narrow-minded. You're too religious. Why do the children speak this way? They want to live the way they want to. They don't want to be disturbed. They don't want to be reproved. They care not about their immortal souls. There are so many that are careful and troubled about things that profit them not. How many of my group are careful and troubled about their immortal souls? So few, my hearers. What is the uppermost in you? Is it daily tasks? Is it your occupation? Is it how shall I get ahead? How shall I make money? How shall I get this and that? You are busy with these things daily, every day, and never give a thought concerning your immortal soul. Or you are careful and troubled, it is true, about needless matters. And the one thing needful you are not careful about. Christ said unto Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things. Oh, Martha, you are so busy and you are so fretful. You think that you're going to please me by bringing out a beautiful meal. Less than this will do, Martha. This makes you out of humor. This makes you discontented. This makes you speak in the way that you do. Martha, one thing is needful. And Mary, she hath chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. Christ speaks here words, my hearers, very important. One thing is needful. What is that one thing? What does he mean when he says one thing is needful? May I ask you, what's the one thing needful for you? What do you need the most? What are you after the most? What are you busy about the most? Is it about your immortal soul? Is it about salvation? Is it about gaining Christ as your Savior and your Redeemer? Search yourself, my hearers. What is the one thing needful? What are you occupied with the most? I know some of the Marthas in my midst may say, well, I have my lawful duties to perform. I have to do this and do that. That's true. But if you sat down and reasoned with yourself, and you began to figure out, I am sure that you could find a little time, that you could go alone, that you could get on your knees, that you could seek God for salvation, that you could also spend a few moments in reading his word. If you were like Mary, I am sure you would do that. If you were lively, If you were interested in the words that come from him who dwells in heaven above, then you would be found like Mary in a secluded spot upon your knees, seeking him. All my hearers, the one thing needful for you and I is salvation, is Christ Jesus as our Savior and our Redeemer. I know Christ spake here, Mary hath chosen the good part. That good part meant that she had chosen to sit at the feet of Christ. Now that is what he's pointing at in this text. And that is a good part. Why had she chosen this? Had she just made choice of it herself? No, my hearers. Jesus loved Mary. And because Jesus had chosen Mary, therefore Mary had chosen also to sit at his feet. This is a sign whereby we also may examine ourselves whether we are elected or not and chosen of God unto salvation. Have we chosen to sit at the feet of Christ? Have we been given the fee, our need of salvation? When can it be said that you and I, like Mary, sit at the feet of Christ? It is when God the Spirit enters into our souls, when he convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Oh, when we lay at mercy's door, pleading with Christ to save us, to deliver us, to wash us from our sins. Then we are at his feet. We are interceding and pleading for salvation. Again, my hearers, it may be said that we are at the feet of Christ when we come into his house. And when we are given an ear to hear and a heart to receive. When we are so absorbed in the word that is being read or spoken, that all creatures round about us are forgotten, and that the word is as if it is the word of God unto us. So it was with Mary. She was at the feet of Christ, so absorbed in what he was saying, she forgot all about what she was going to eat or drink. Oh, those are blessed times. Have you ever had a time like that, my hearer, in the house of God? When everybody fell away, and when the word was just for you only, it seemed. Oh, what a wonderful time that is. And then it may be said that you were at the feet of Christ. It may have been that you were brought into trials, into difficulties, into afflictions. The Lord visited you. He punished you in a way and in a manner that was suitable to you. And when he brought this upon you, then you were given to justify him in whatever he brought upon you, that he was right. And that if he damned you, he would be just. You bowed underneath the afflicting hand of God. You kissed the rod. This is being at the feet of Christ. Being one with him, satisfied with his ways and with his dealings. Oh, my hearers, this then proves to those creatures that are at the feet of Christ, they are seeking the one thing needful for their immortal souls. All this one thing needful is something that millions of people do not need. They can live without Christ. They can live without God. They can live without his word, without prayer. Oh, how many, my hearers, have so many other needs and are so busy after those things that this one thing needful, they forget completely. How many millions of creatures are indifferent, are careless? They live every day, and they say inwardly, let us eat and let us drink, for tomorrow we die. Oh, we see so many round about us in this state and in this condition. Oh, may I entreat you, my hearers, to seek for this one thing needful, while it is yet called today, because you know not if you shall live tomorrow. Oh, could I press it upon you, that you may turn yet to him who is ready to receive the greatest of sinners. We find in the beginning, my hearers, to go back to the beginning of my lesson, that we find that Christ often resorted to this house. There were three in this house that Christ loved. What a wonderful family, huh? He had some particular friends that he loved more than other friends, and these he visited more often, and that was this family. He visited them quite often. May I ask you, has he ever visited you? If he has, it's a token that he loves you. Oh, how few homes there are where there is one, only one, I would say. Here there were three that Christ loved. How few homes there are in our midst where there is one that we may believe that Christ loves. Oh, my hearers, entreat him to visit your immortal soul, that he may come in and that his visits may be more often and that they may be of a longer duration. Oh, how sweet are those visits. Have you ever had a visit like that? Have you ever had the banner unfurled over you and Christ speaking to you in accents of love? Oh, when he visits, my hearers, just as he visits the earth many times with showers, so he visits sinners, his people, with showers of blessings. And you know, it was difficult for Martha. It was dangerous to have him in her home, because they were seeking his life. The religious leaders in Jerusalem had already made the decision that they would kill him. And therefore, it was dangerous for Martha to have him in her home. My hearers, if you may openly come out for Christ, if you may testify for him in this wicked and sinful generation, then you will have the religious leaders of our day. They will call you a dangerous person. He has or she has dangerous doctrines. You shouldn't come near them people. You shouldn't talk to them people. They are dangerous creatures, and you will be hated. You will be despised by these religious people for those things that are to your peace and to the salvation of your soul. And we find that Mary sat at the feet of Christ. When he came into that home, she immediately sat at his feet. This was a golden opportunity for her. She never knew whether she was going to have another one like that, and she made the most of it. She sat at his feet, drinking in his word. How many Marys have I in my midst? Have you ever sat at his feet? Have you ever been given to listen to his voice? What does that voice do, my hearers? That's a voice we know. That's the voice of the Good Shepherd. He has said himself, my sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me. Oh, how sweet is that voice. Sad to say, how little we hear it in our days. How long in between
that we hear that voice. But oh, when we hear that voice, then we know it by the feelings that go on in our soul. Oh, then love begins to flow out to him that speaks. And oh, we listen as we never listen to anything else. And we lay our heart bare to him, and he makes himself known unto us in speaking unto us, in telling us that he loves us, that he favors us, that we are his children, that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he will be with us in this world and carry us through to the end and take us to himself in heaven above. Has he ever spoken to you in this way, my hearers? Has he ever been near and dear and precious unto you? Have you ever lain at his feet? You had nothing to say. You just listened. Oh, how sweet, how wonderful it is when Jesus comes and speaks to our souls. Just like Mary, so absorbed, so carried away with what he was saying. We knew nothing about the world or anything in it. Oh, we have been so lifted up above everything here below when he speaks that we would like to go home to be with him. My hearers, we find likewise that while Mary was sitting there like that, Martha, another child of God, became angry at the position that Mary was sitting in. You would say, how is it possible? Why didn't Martha go and sit there? Why didn't she listen to him? You see in this how far Martha was from the position that Mary was in. And she became angry. Have you never had someone that became angry at you? Oh, you were living so close. You were such a praying soul. You went alone so many times to read the Bible, to bend your knees. Oh, you wished that every day was Sunday at that time. And maybe you had an immediate member in your family. They fell upon you. They said, what's the matter with her? What's the matter with him? They got no time for anything around the house. All they do is read the Bible. All they do is pray. They pick on you. They say things which hurt you, which cut you to your soul. They are their own flesh and blood sometimes that speak this way. Just like Martha was a sister to Mary. And have you never had a child of God speak to you about them things? Have you never had another child of God become angry with you because you were so lively? Or you could just flow out to the praise and to the honor of Jesus. And the other person, he was so carnal, so worldly, so embedded in those things. Nothing struck it, but they became angry. So often, a mature Christian becomes angry with one that's just born again, one that's so lively. I know from experience, my hearers, just like it was here. It's not uncommon for a person that is zealous and that is in love with the Lord to be picked upon, to be hated, to be despised, not only by enemies outwardly, but even by their own friends and by their own immediate relatives. And now this Martha, she carried her case to the Lord. It may be that some other child of God has carried your case to the Lord too, but they got a rebuke. They got a reproof instead of having the Lord taking up for them. Oh, we must be so careful with what we bring before the Lord. Oh, may the Lord in his mercy bring every one of us to his divine feet, my hearers. My time is gone again. I can't continue any further with this lesson, which I would like to do. But my hearers, I've been speaking to you about one thing that is needful. The words of Christ himself, may you carry them home. May you say them inside. One thing is needful. What is that? Salvation. Christ Jesus and him crucified.
Oh, may you carry these thoughts homeward and go upon your knees and say, Lord, this one thing needful I've neglected, I've forgotten, I do not seek after it. Oh, Lord, may thou grant me for this one thing that I need for time and eternity. That's all for today, my hearers.